running her mouth. She wants to ride, and she's trying to hide.
One of the biggest questions for the Packers heading into training camp, well, it has been answered. Zach Tom, not going to be missing any time when training camp opens up tomorrow, because yesterday, per the NFL Network, he agreed to a four-year contract extension worth $88 million. Signing bonus, just over north of $30 million. And he becomes the third highest paid right tackle in all of football.
Did they say what the guaranteed money was?
I did not see what the
full guaranteed money has not come out. All we know is that signing bonus
which is the highest for an offensive lineman.
Anticipate, which I don't know why they would do this. I would anticipate his guarantee wouldn't be as much. That's kind of what the Packers do. Throw the money, less guaranteed on a four-year deal. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know why why would you do that, though? If the money, I would take more guaranteed, right?
I think a lot of people would.
Yeah.
But the signing bonus is guaranteed.
Yeah, so the way the Packers have sort of managed to work around a lot of this is loading those signing bonuses and roster bonuses and stuff as much as they can to then lessen the burden if they need to move on from somebody throughout the course. So,
and
like,
I
a lot of it's front-end loaded.
Yeah.
You are able to spread some of those numbers over, and then you make the burden on your actual salary cap a lot lower by finagling the numbers that way.
And I understand getting the cash right away and getting it invested.
Pretty nice to sign on a dotted line and get $30 million.
Well, it's 15.
Thank you. Is that taxes? Have you ever heard of them?
Yeah.
I understood.
It's not 30. It's 15. And I get it, but I would still,
well, if it
in
was
the long
15,
run,
then actually it would be 7.5.
There you go. Yes. But you know what? You love guys like this getting paid.
Yeah.
Fourth round pick, worked his tail off, plays hurt, keeps his mouth shut, was going to show up. So you reward guys like this.
Yeah, I'm glad they got this done and didn't let it drag into camp. Because honestly, it seems a pretty fair deal all the way around. Like, whenever we talked about Zach Tom with Jason, we would always bring up, well, if there was a third team all pro, he'd be third team all pro, receive the third most votes. So it makes sense to me that he is the third highest paid right tackle behind Penei Sewell, behind Lane Johnson. And those guys are making, they've had more accolades. They've had been in the league longer. So it makes sense to me that they're making significantly more money than him. Penei Sewell, $28 million per year. Lane Johnson, 25. Then Zach Tom comes in at 22. Like, this just seems like a very fair deal all the way around.
Very fair.
Like, this is probably, I mean, I guess if he hit the open market, could he have gotten a little bit more? Probably.
Oh, he would have got more.
Yeah.
He might have been the highest paid, but it wouldn't have been with the Packers.
Yeah. So you're building something good here. Take what deal seems fair. Again, you let the agent haggle, because honestly, for the agent, he walks away going, oh, I negotiated the highest signing bonus in the history of the league for an offensive lineman. Something he can brag and get more, you know, get more clients with or whatever. But this is a fantastic deal. I'm glad they're taking care of business and not letting this thing linger. Now take care of Elgton Jenkins.
And I would take care of Rashid
Walker.
He's a good player. He's not great.
No, he's
not
solid.
Bakhtiari.
No.
You can't pay everyone on the O-line.
Yeah, which is why I think they're going to let, because they can't pay everybody on the O-line. It's a great point. But they're paying their right tackle. They're paying their left guard. Right now they're paying their center. And they just drafted two tackles very high in the draft the last two years. So all signs point to me of Rashid Walker ain't going to be a Packer next year.
But we don't know if the one tackle can play. He had an incomplete his first year.
I don't know, Chewy. I don't know if either tackle can play, if we're being honest.
Yes.
But when you invest that type of draft capital, I mean, both of those guys would have to fall so completely flat on their face in training camp and then during the regular season in order to, like, force themselves to sign Rashid Walker to some sort of contract extension.
I just like guys
during
like
the
this.
Season. Oh,
I like
yeah.
guys that
as a fourth round pick.
And he just keeps battling, and he keeps 35 starts.
Yeah.
And he's only going to get better. He's never going to be great. He's never going to be a premier left tackle. I like the kid.
Are you talking about Walker here?
Yes.
Yeah, I just think they don't view him as talented enough to get a Zach Tom level contract. and they're going to give those other two picks the opportunity to fail before he's given the opportunity to be here long term.
It's the old Tausch adage.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Seventh round picks have to, and that's what Rashid Walker is.
Yep.
He has to prove constantly that he belongs. First round pick has to prove that he doesn't. And that's what Jordan Morgan is. And then you have Anthony Belton, who's a second round pick. You know, so not necessarily the same thing applies, but they're going to give him every those two are going to get every opportunity to start at left tackle.
Exactly. I just like, you know, like Ron, what Ron would do is throw money where the Packers get the better deal at him and then lock him up for 3 years. Throw, I don't know, what's a low level? Not a low level,
but
let's say
the
23rd tackle in the league's probably making, what, 10?
I'm also guessing that he wouldn't accept that deal. You know, at this point, you're a left tackle that's played that long. Obviously, you guys don't want me. I'll get paid somebody else. But I think he has risen to the occasion every single year as a member of the Packers. They throw a competition, he wins.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he just bets on himself and goes, hey, at this point, I'm not taking a below market deal. I'm a left tackle in this league.
Yeah.
Somebody else will pay me.
Yeah.
Yeah. The teams are desperate enough that they're going to pay him more than the Packers would be willing to at this point. And I think everybody understands it.
But I love seeing guys like this win.
Yeah, and I think he probably will. I think he'll I don't think he's going to be like a...
He's not going to win with the Packers in terms of the money.
Right.
But
I think once he hits the open market, there will be a team desperate, and they will likely overpay for his services just because he's proven to be at very least solid to pretty good, which is valuable at left tackle position.
I mean, yeah.
Is he a free agent after this year?
Rashid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what if Morgan doesn't work out and then Belton is another incomplete? Then what do you do?
They would have to fall again. If it's an injury and incomplete, then they'll roll with those guys. Like, those guys would have to overwhelmingly fail in order for them to give Rashid Walker a contract. Because again, like once you lock up Rashid Walker, and your next two tackles are locked up for the next 3 to 4 years. Okay, I guess Jordan Morgan can play guard.
But that's why the bank signing was so
strange,
mysterious. Because you just took in the last 2 years, you took a player in the first round and in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you would think Morgan, you could plug him right into
a guard spot,
left guard. Take the bank's money and spend it defensively. He's fine. I just don't agree with a lot of the things he does. And we're talking about the boss man.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think the important thing also for us to remember is where Jordan Morgan was drafted, and I know he was drafted as a tackle. He said he wanted to be a tackle. But teams are drafting guards and centers there.
Yeah.
So if he ends up being a plus guard and is able to step in and be a consistent guy there who will be able to earn $20 million a year in the future, I think that's a win for the Packers and they'll be happy with it.
Yeah.
I think they're just taking stabs at who's going to play that left, and it could be any of them.
Yeah.
Whoever's the best.
I get it. And a first round pick should get at least two contracts, right?
You would hope.
You would think.
Yeah, you would hope so.
That's certainly the plan when he's drafted.
Yeah. It doesn't always work out that way.
I know.
It doesn't always work out that way, but I think that is always the hope.
Who do you think starts at left tackle?
Rashid Walker.
I think Morgan does.
I'm going Rashid.
I think we are going to have conversations about, are we sure this guy's actually better than Rashid Walker?
But the problem is this, Josh. This is the problem. We won't know during training camp because they don't do anything.
Well, but also the problem, Chu... So you have told the story of when Ron Wolf and Mike Holmgren disagreed about Terrell Buckley.
Correct.
And what happened?
Ron won.
Because?
He's the boss.
If there's a disagreement, like if Matt LaFleur thinks that Rashid Walker is the best left tackle, my guess is Rashid Walker's the best left tackle.
Correct.
Because
they're
on equal footing.
Yeah.
It's not like Goody goes, hey, I invested in this. You start him. Matt LaFleur, hey. This is our best left tackle. That's what we're doing.
But, Gabe, it wasn't only Holmgren. It was Holmgren and Ray Rhodes.
Yeah.
The D coordinator.
Yeah, but again, guess who's the boss?
Well, that's there were no cylinders back then.
Yeah, so I think that makes it a little bit different as well. Where if Rashid Walker is the best option, I think he starts.
I agree. Yep.
Because you have a little bit of that disconnect between the GM mm-hmm. and the head coach. Chewy has a historic
dominant,
a historic power rankings, and we are going to do that coming up next. But I do want to tell you about our friends at Palermo's, because they have partnered with Cheez-It to make Cheez-It frozen pizza. It's the unexpected collaboration snack fans did not know that they needed. 12-inch, ultra-thin, and crispy original Cheez-It flavored crust, that's in a square, of course, because Cheez-It crackers are square, made with 100% real cheese, paired with your favorite pizza toppings to remind you of the irresistible, cheesy flavor you love. And all month long, Cheez-It frozen pizza on sale, just $7.99 at all Pick and Save locations. Grab one today. Cheez-It frozen pizza. You know Palermo's knows what they're doing when it comes to frozen pizza. You know this one's going to be great. Load up right now, $7.99 at all Pick and Save locations. It's Cheez-It frozen pizza from Palermo's.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Josh said it's garbage.
I'm so glad that Josh is getting a front row seat.
He said it's garbage. It doesn't work.
Chewy.
Am I right or wrong?
We call that a setup in the biz.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I teased it. I said it was historic. We find out just how historic it is in this week's edition of the Power Rankings.
It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, big guy, you catch the game?
It's Power Rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night?
Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
All right, Josh, you know what this is?
It is the first time that Chewy has come up with his own list for power rankings.
This is a 98 mile per hour heater, and I just went yard with it. Okay?
Okay.
All right, 15 to get 10. 15 to get 10. The list is mine. 10 most important Packers heading into this season. 15 to get 10. No, you get 5 wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's two very easy ones.
Yeah. So Jordan Love is on the list.
Jordan Love, numero uno.
We got to go Tucker Kraft here. Tight end bias. Gonna for sure make it.
Tucker Kraft, number 4.
Josh Jacobs is important.
Josh Jacobs, number 2.
Matthew Golden has to be on the list.
Matthew Golden is your first miss.
Ooh.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. So I will say Xavier McKinney is important.
Xavier McKinney, number 3.
Rashawn Gary.
Rashawn Gary, second strike.
What? This is unbelievable.
Why? You know what he's going to be. He's barely better than the backup.
And do you think him being barely better than the backup is going to be really important for the team?
Doesn't matter.
Edgerrin Cooper.
Edgerrin Cooper is number 7.
Keyshawn Nixon.
Keyshawn Nixon is number 5.
All right, I mean, somebody on that defensive line has to be on this list, right?
I'm going to explain it away at the very end on how I came up with this list, by the way. So stay tuned. You want me to reset it?
No. I've got the list. Okay. So I've got Love at 1, Jacobs at 2, McKinney at 3, Tucker at 4, Nixon at 5, Cooper is 7. I will say, I mean, there's got to be another receiver on this list, right?
Yeah.
I'll say Jaden Reed.
Jaden Reed is your third miss.
Damn. Is he going to say offensive line here? Yeah. Is Zach Tom going to make it?
Zach Tom is number 9.
Okay, that's a good thing. Quay Walker?
Yeah, that was
Quay Walker is your fourth strike. Oh. You have one more.
Gabe, I think we need to teamwork this one here.
Yeah, because again, we only have one more with 3 left. We've got to get 3 more.
Do we think a Devontae Wyatt's going to make the list? Do we think Romeo Doubs? We know he's an offensive toad.
Yeah, but again, we've said the top receiver from last year, the guy who I think is going to be a top receiver. I mean, is he going to put Doubs? I think he might put Doubs on the list.
Is he going to put Doubs over a guy like Elgton Jenkins?
I feel like Elton's safer.
Elgton Jenkins.
Elgton Jenkins, number six.
I mean, there has to be a receiver on the list. And he's not going to put Wicks on the list.
No.
So I think Doubs has to be on the list. I mean, unless you put Musgrave on there. You think you put two tight ends and no wide receivers?
Full toad?
Yeah. Full tight end toad? Man, he is not breaking either. No. This is fantastic. He's just looking. He's not even saying a word. Just laser focused on his.
Well, do you want a hint? Is that what you're looking for? Some hints?
Well, no, we were trying to think if we could drag a hint out of you is what we were trying to do.
The two left is because of depth, and the other one is obscure.
Depth and obscure.
So he's on there because of depth. The other one is obscure.
Depth immediately makes me think of another corner.
Yeah.
So that would be Valentine or Hobbs.
Yeah. Problem is, it's
50-50.
Yeah. Because he could go either way.
Did he remember?
I think it's Hobbs. Hobbs got paid. And he is always about, hey, you get paid, you got to perform. So I would say Hobbs over Valentine.
I'm with you.
You choose poorly.
Huh.
There's your five. Carrington Valentine, number eight. And this is right in your wheelhouse. Drama free. You don't want any more drama.
Kicker?
Brandon McManus.
Tommy McManus.
Tommy.
All right, you want me to explain it away?
Not particularly.
Okay, Love is obvious. Jacob's obvious because the drop-off is huge. Mm-hmm. McKinney is the quarterback of the defense.
Sure.
Kraft, you lose him. We don't know what Musgrave really is right now. Elgton Jenkins, we don't know if Mr. Cold can play.
Sure.
Okay, so that's huge. Cooper, obviously a lot of hype. That's why he's on it. Valentine, it's depth. They lose their with this D line. They're done. They have no depth at corner, really. Okay, Zach Tom, very important. Not sure if those two young old linemen can play yet. And McManus, you knew what it was—a disaster. Was that last year or the 2 years ago? With the kickers.
The last year and a half.
Yeah.
Because McManus came in halfway through last year.
And we saw what a disaster that is.
Yeah. And then back-to-back games, he kicked game-winning field goal.
The reason I did not put a receiver on the list, because I think they're all the same. You can lose anyone. Because we don't know about Golden, and it's the next man up. And I think Golden this year is a 45 catches for 600-something yards and three touchdowns.
I'll take that bet.
I'll take the over.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's my reasoning behind the list.
Yeah, but Josh and I are taking the over.
Where'd you disagree the most? Obviously, receiver.
Yeah, I thought you'd have a receiver on there.
I think if the Packers are going to be any good, Matthew Golden has to be on this top 10.
I would agree.
That's putting a lot of eggs in a rookie's basket.
Yeah. Welcome to the big leagues, Pop.
It's the NFL. It's not Pop Warner.
Well, you're welcome. That was a great list.
Look, I think it's your greatest list of all time.
Well, thank you. Because I'm not doing one every week. That's it.
Yeah, let's not get crazy here.
Yeah,
let's not
but again,
expectations
I've,
too high.
I have done a show with you now for almost 6 years.
Yes.
Actually, we might have been working together now for 6 years at this point. This show, we're coming up on our fifth anniversary of this show. You and I were together a little bit before Jen joined, and I've known you since 2013.
Yeah.
I think this is the first time you did you love lists. You love power rankings.
Love them.
I think this is the first time you did one on your own. So that's why, I mean, again, I'm not expecting one anytime soon. I'm expecting another one, I don't know, probably in a decade.
Well, that's wrong, because contractually I'm only obligated to do two a year. So I only have one more to go for this year.
Was that a new addendum to the contract? Because
yeah.
Where were the two original lists in the years prior?
Kind of made it question. Up. Made it up on the fly.
Yeah, it's kind of how this typically works with you, isn't it? Bobby Portis had some interesting things to say about the Bucks and Giannis on ESPN Radio yesterday. We dive into that coming up next, but I do want to tell you that it doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue for any guy. That's where mentality comes in. A healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best, and they have one right here in Milwaukee. I've been going to it for a number of years because I was tired, groggy, just didn't feel like myself. Thought, okay, used to do the afternoon show, transitioning to a morning show. That's why I'm a little more tired. Turns out, no, testosterone levels were low. And if you feel the same way, tired, groggy, don't feel like yourself, don't have that competitive drive, those are all signs of low testosterone. And you can find out pretty easy with Mentality. Book an appointment, lowtusa.com. And you can go through their process, get the blood panel done. And if your testosterone levels are low, you can work with Mentality and they'll give you a customized testosterone treatment plan just for you. This isn't one size fits all. That's what I feel is really important with Mentality. It's not just, oh, here's this and now go about your day. No, it's customized. You check back in every 12 to 13 weeks, make sure your levels are where they need to be. And if they aren't, they will adjust it for you. So go to lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Find out more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments, lowtusa.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You want more physical harm beset upon people who are trying to earn a living.
I want winners. If someone has to die in order for us to win, then that's the price you pay.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Been pretty quiet on the Bucks front as of late. Obviously made the big splashes, wave and stretch of Damian Lillard, bringing in Miles Turner, making a bunch of peripheral moves, picking up Cole Anthony, getting younger. So there hasn't been a lot of talk about the Bucks recently. However, last night on game night here on ESPN Radio with Emmett Golden and Mark Zeno, Bobby Portis joined the team. He joined the show, had a lot of things to say. Started with this, because obviously if you're going to be talking to a member of the Milwaukee Bucks, you are going to ask about Giannis. Here is what Bobby had to say last night on game night about Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I don't really pay the media any mind for real. You know, Giannis is a loyal guy. He'll make his decision where he wants to do it, but, you know, I think he believes green, and I think he'll be here to hoop with us this year, and we're going to make another run at it. So that's just my honest opinion, what I feel. Obviously, with superstars like him, you always want to have that thought of, okay, what if he goes somewhere else or all these reasons. But, you know, he got to marry here, man, so it is what it is.
See, he seems pretty confident that Giannis is going to be around.
Wonder how much they talk. Because in the offseason, I talked to Brett and Frank.
That's about it.
That's about it.
I can't imagine there's a ton of communication just because, I mean, now some young Bucks players went over to Greece and they were training with Giannis. We talked about that when it happened. But it seems like Giannis just kind of retreats to Greece and just really takes advantage of the time off. Not that Giannis isn't working out, because obviously he is. But he wants to take advantage of the off season to really spend time with his family.
But he doesn't even know Bobby Portis. The fact that he says
he probably hasn't
talked
to Giannis.
Decision.
Yeah, he probably has not talked to Giannis. I can't imagine.
But what if he did know? What if he did know? He wouldn't. You wouldn't betray that trust.
My guess is he would betray the trust because
he would.
Well, if you were Bobby Portis and you signed an extension with the Bucks, thinking that Giannis was going to be around and you're going to try to make a run at another championship,
yeah,
and then Giannis, after all this happened, abandoned ship. Would you?
I probably wouldn't be happy.
Yeah.
I'm sure Chris Middleton's not overjoyed to be with Washington.
Sure.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I got traded in a 96 to the Bengals, I might retire. Yeah. I get it.
But
I'm just trying to think, Gabe, if he knew he wouldn't, would he say that?
If he knew, I don't think he would say that. I feel like he would...
Stay away from it?
Yeah, but I think he would be less confident. I don't think he would say the phrase, I think he bleeds green. I think he's going to be here and hoop with us. I don't think he would say those things if he knew
just what
Giannis
he
wasn't.
Thinks.
Yeah. Yeah. Do I think that he's had a ton of conversations with Giannis this offseason? I do not.
This isn't, because I know we talked about it like a couple months ago, maybe, when we thought this would be over with. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're there yet. Right?
I don't think.
Didn't we say August?
Yeah. I mean, it's not over yet because Giannis hasn't said anything. It's just kind of calmed down because, well, there's nothing else that can happen really in the NBA except for minor moves, like Chris Paul going to the Clippers. You know, moves like that.
Where are you at?
I'm still 90% that he's back.
Okay. I'm 80.
Yeah. Because
which is still solid.
At this point, I mean, he said that he, you know, again, in the iShow Speed show, that he was probably coming back to Milwaukee, that he loves Milwaukee. Giannis, I don't think, wants to have that reputation of a negative reputation, I should say. Doesn't want to have that. And at this point, if he abandoned ship on the Bucks, there is a portion of the fan base that would be very upset.
Then why hasn't he put it to sleep?
Like, I think he's just pretty unplugged right now. I think he'll put it when he comes back to Milwaukee. Whenever he comes back to Milwaukee, that's when this will be officially over. He's just kind of off doing his own thing.
All right.
Can you be unplugged and on the stream of one of the most popular streamers to ever live?
Yeah. I think, yeah. I mean, iShow Speed is plugged in. I don't think Giannis is necessarily plugged in. I mean, it doesn't even, because even earlier this offseason, Josh, Giannis was putting up stuff on social media. Man, he hasn't really been doing a ton of that recently. Having fun, doing live streams. Do you think iShow Speed reached out to Giannis or Giannis's people?
I haven't an idea how that works with those people.
My guess is there's a connection somewhere with Giannis's people.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I doubt that stuff
goes both ways typically in those. It's usually a mutual respect. Hey, we would be open to doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still hung up on the Eric Name article after his talk with John Horst.
Yeah.
The I don't know answer and the lack of certainty there. I still think he remains a member of the Buck, because even if Giannis has thoughts of going elsewhere, I think a return to Milwaukee and looking John Horst in the face and sort of understanding the gravity of demanding a trade and leaving Milwaukee, that all weighs heavily on somebody.
But if you don't know and you're John Horst, even if you have a good feeling, like if you do a public interview, which he doesn't do a ton of those Q&As, Horst, like you can't just go, oh yeah, I think he's going to be back. Like you got a CYA there. So you got to give the most politically correct answer that you possibly can.
But I do think if he had any level of confidence, he would have let that out through the answer.
I just don't know.
There would have been a degree of, we believe we've done enough and we believe this team is good enough and that Giannis will be a part of it moving forward.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I just don't think that they've talked all that much this offseason.
Is it impossible to kick tires without anybody knowing? Without anybody knowing.
There's degrees of kicking tires.
Is it possible? Yes. As evidenced by the Luka Doncic trade that came out of nowhere in the NBA, right?
Oh, okay.
So like that, but that's not the way this would work. Because what the Mavericks got in return for Luka, it's embarrassing. Embarrassingly low. It's very bad. And the Bucks aren't going to do that. If Giannis comes to them and says, hey, I want out, it is going to be,
no,
all right, everybody,
what?
Best offers over here. Line them up.
But what if he just wants to kick tires? New York Knicks. All right, how would this work? His agent works and calls the GM and says, never called you, okay?
You can't kick too many tires because that's when things get out.
Because we knew when I was in Green Bay,
mm-hmm.
we pretty much knew everything that was going on in the building. Because it's like a little bunch of little...
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody's...
Gossips.
Yeah. A bunch of gossips going around. One person finds out information.
So I don't think you can kick tires without anybody knowing. That's all I'm saying.
I think you can... Again, I think you can do something one-on-one. I think you can do something, again, the way that it happened with the Mavericks and Lakers. Because Rob Pelinka, the GM of the Lakers, didn't want this to get out, right? he didn't want to tell a damn soul. Because if it gets out, then maybe the Mavericks realize that they're getting fleeced.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. Is it tampering if the team isn't involved? Could Giannis do this behind the Bucks' back and say, well, how would this work, Knicks?
Who would he contact? Yeah, of course. He can't, like, whoever.
Well, that's
whatever,
what I'm saying.
Whatever Knicks employee he would talk to
cannot
talk to Giannis because he's under contract to a different team. That would be tampering.
Then you can't do it. You can't.
It's happening.
I mean, tampering happens all the time. Yeah. And again, usually it's the agent who does that.
No, I know.
And then every few years, somebody gets a slap on the wrist and they say, you're not supposed to do that. And
like
then
the Bucks got
it.
A slap on the wrist. Yes. Lost a second round pick because.
What? Which one?
When they were going to sign Bogdan Bogdanovic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Woj let it out a little bit early. And then the deal fell apart.
Yeah.
The Bucks ended up losing a second round pick. And yeah, because it was all tampering, it was not legal.
Hmm.
Which. Again, the fact that Bogdan Bogdanovic is the one who...
They mainly just don't want it to be blatant and out in the obvious.
Yeah.
Out in the open that way.
And that's...
But it's pretty remarkable these guys who don't have any contact or not allowed to have contact have signings done 12:01 or whatever time.
Yeah, we just started this at midnight. We got it done in a minute.
And suddenly,
it's amazing.
We're in, like, again, and that opens up like the legal tampering period.
Yeah.
And within 2 minutes,
yes.
Whoa, somehow we've negotiated this big contract within 2 minutes. It's incredible. It's really amazing. It happens in the NFL too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's recruiting that goes on all the time.
You've told the story about
Tony Dungy in the middle of the field. Hey, we'd love to have you in Tampa. Well, about 30 years later.
Have you told Tony that you're down in Tampa?
He lives down there.
Have you done
haven't
that?
Haven't run into him yet.
Okay. Well, maybe someday. Maybe someday you'll run into him down there. Brewers, again, they're close. 11 wins in a row. What are your plans for tonight? That's next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I thought
Salvation
every time
Army.
That they hear their name when it's non-scheduled, that's what they want to hear.
I could hear Ashley laughing in the background.
Am I right or wrong?
He's not wrong. Hey, he's not wrong.
He's
not wrong.
He is wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I feel like I should go somewhere, but it's just the game is so late tonight. 8:40 first pitch, Brewers Mariners, Miz on the mound. But I feel like I should be doing something because it's going for 12 in a row. And I'm going to say this every day that it's true. And I don't know how long it's going to be true, but the Brewers have the best record in baseball.
That is crazy.
They have the best record.
Not in the National League, the whole league.
All of baseball.
So awesome.
Every team in baseball looking up at the Milwaukee Brewers this morning.
Yeah. We just...
Well, think about how this the whole thing started. 0-4, getting the crap kicked out of them every game.
Yeah. The worst run differential ever through four games of the MLB season.
Is that bad?
Yeah, very. That's
is that
not
bad?
Good.
And now I believe they have the third best run differential in all of baseball. And we have 62 games remaining.
So with 62 games remaining, according to Baseball Reference, they have a 97.5% chance of making the playoffs. Baseball Reference still has the Cubs as a favorite to win the division. Brewers a game ahead of the Cubs. They give the Brewers a 38.3% chance of being in the LCS, a 22.8% chance, which is the second highest in all of the National League to win the National League.
Mm. Just can't. It's like my Bears edict.
They have a 12.
I don't care what the Bears do. If they sign Jalen Hurts and Justin, I'm still not buying into them.
Yep.
Conversely, we got to stop with the Ananasio's not spending, and I'm as guilty as anyone because I was doing it.
Well, to be fair, he's not spending. Seems just good.
You don't need to, I guess.
According to Baseball Reference. The Brewers have a 12.7% chance to win the World Series, which is the second highest number there.
Love it.
They have the Cubs at 14.7%. Some other teams, the Dodgers, 8.8%. The Tigers, 11.3%. Yankees, 11.2%.
Is your dislike...
All out of all of those teams.
Is your Craig Counsell dislike still off the charts? Or now that we have Murph, I kind of rather have Murph.
Ultimately, I think it's worked out quite well for the Brewers. If the Cubs come in and take us out of a playoff or take the division, then yeah, that stuff will ramp back up.
Okay. But this is great juice.
But a good way to get rid of those feelings is to have the best record in all of baseball.
Yes.
My hatred for Craig Counsell and the decision he made will never end.
No.
I mean, maybe after he retires, I don't know. Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. But as long as he is the manager of the Chicago Cubs,
yeah.
Every time I go to a Brewers-Cubs game, I am planning
What's
on.
Worse? What's worse? Counsell or Favre?
I think Favre, because he worked back channels to make sure he could go face and then beat the Packers.
Yeah, it's close. It's close for me because Counsell was one of us, right? Like, he was our guy.
Yeah.
He grew up here and he went there, but I don't think there was a vindictiveness of him going to the Cubs. I just think that was
got more money.
That was he went to the highest bidder and the Cubs offered him the most money.
Something I can understand.
I can understand that. With Brett, well, Brett got paid by Minnesota. I'm willing to bet that the Vikings could have taken advantage of his hatred for the Packers and paid him a little bit less.
Do you discount that one is an idiot and the other one really isn't? I mean, I love the guy, but he's just...
But Brett's not really an idiot.
He has tendencies.
Yeah, but...
I mean, I have more, but...
But Brett...
Enough.
Sneak one in just before the end of the program.
I know.
But the whole like, Brett, like, oh, I don't even know what a nickel defense is.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be that good at quarterback and not be very smart. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
At least football.
What is it, sly like a fox? It's something like a fox.
We do this
just
all the time.
We'll talk about it tomorrow, all right?
Getting you a shirt that says sly like a fox.
Crazy.
Josh, like are you going to stay up? Are you going to watch it? It's a late game. It's a commitment.
I will stay up to watch at least a bit of The Miz.
Okay.
But I'm going up to Green Bay tomorrow.
Who cares?
Getting up at 4 a.m.
Who cares?
You're not here tomorrow?
This doesn't always happen.
Here. All right.
This doesn't happen.
I won't watch.
Yeah, there's a reason I didn't ask.